Hey, welcome back to the Dan Time Podcast. This is part two of my conversation with Georgetown, Austin area-based singer-songwriter Dan Guevara. And we're going to preview the title track from his debut LP. This is the song Lazy Days. And I got to tell you, the past week, 2 weeks, I guess, I've been listening to this record in the car. And happy to report, I've been playing these songs at night when it's time for my toddler to go to sleep and he will not fall asleep. And I just kick it off with Dreaming Tree and he is lights out halfway through Lazy Days. His favorite song is Procrastinate. How could you blame him? You know, and I think that's a tribute to just the soothing, comforting quality of Dan's vocal style. How effortlessly you just tend to drift into this sound. You know, there's one artist from a bygone era that Dan Guevara reminds me of. It's not right on the nose, but if you know some songs like Every Day, Words of Love, Fool's Paradise, I got to throw out Buddy Holly. Maybe it's a feeling that I get listening to one of my favorites, Buddy Holly, and now listening to Dan Guevara. Both Texas natives. So there you go. Follow Dan on social media, YouTube, Dan Guevara Music. And you can find and download the Lost in Austin EP and the Lazy Days LP wherever you listen to music. So enjoy this preview of Lazy Days and let's get to the conversation. Once again, it's Dan Guevara time.
Days, paint a picture while the skies were gray. You and me love slept the day away. Staying in bed, taking our time, we were sleeping in such a crowd. But now it's 1 o'clock and it's far too late to turn on the coffee pot. Listen to the sound of sizzling bacon. Turn on some music now and then. Dance around the kitchen and nothing but her skin. Put my eyes on you. Listen to the sound of somebody to love by Queen. Takes me back when we were 17, we were so in love.
There's this photo, and I think it's kind of almost like immediately iconic. I associate, because I haven't known of you very long, but you with the guitar, the Airstream behind you.
Yeah.
I love that. Whose creative direction was that?
So I'm going to rewind and back to when I was working at Big. So our barista at the time, her name was Macy, still a really good friend of mine. So like I was talking to her about the record and I was talking to her about the single Lazy Days because I'm getting ready to record that single at the time. And I was like, you know, I'm thinking of like concepts for the art of the single and I don't know what to do. Like, do you have any ideas? And so she got this little, it was a receipt, one of the receipts. And then she flipped it over and she drew a little Airstream. And on the side, it said Lazy Days. And I was like, oh my God, I love that. That's going to be the theme of the song. And then it ended up being the theme of the whole record, you know, just yearning for those lazy days and like just wanting to escape the 9 to 5, just get away from, like you said, like, everything that's going on in the world and how like things are real tense right now and like just wanting to escape that for a while and just like live in bliss and just enjoy the beauty of the world and the moment that you're in. Like that's really the whole concept of the record. And that's why it has the Airstream on front. So
oh, cool. as far as the songs that seem to be going over well live, which ones do you play on stage here lately?
Oh, man. So I play almost all of them live, honestly. Like, nice. I think the only one that I don't play live much is Dreaming Tree. Like, I'll throw it in there every now and then. But for the most part, I play, like, the whole record live almost all the time. I love it. I'm really, really proud of the record. It's so much fun to play. I got to say, as far as like all the songs on the record, the one that's the most fun to play live is Fevered Moon. I love that song.
Oh, nice. That's the one I missed.
It's all good. It's toward the end of the record, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the penultimate track, as they say.
Yes.
Nothing.
And
but
it's a werewolf, actually. That's what I tell people. It's about a werewolf. And it's a love story. And it's like, basically, this guy like turns into a werewolf at night when the moon is full. And he's wanting to run away with the love of his life, but he's worried that he's going to like tear in the pieces because he's a werewolf. And the chorus is, howling to be with you, howling to be with you. And I even howl a little bit at the end of the song.
Of course, you have to.
Yeah.
Tell me about when you performed on the local Fox affiliate and that experience. Was that your first introduction as far as getting your music out on, say, broadcast TV?
Yeah, so oddly enough, that was actually the second time, technically, that I had been on local access TV. Like, I was on this other local access show called Up Late Austin, which is really, really cool. Like, the producers of that show are super nice, and like all the crew. And so basically the way that I got that show was my good friend Morgan Obenhaus, another local singer-songwriter from the area. She was scheduled to be on the show, but she got sick. And so she reached out to me and she's like, hey, I'm supposed to be on Up Late Austin this weekend. Are you interested in covering for me? Like, I told him about you and it's yours if you want it, basically. And I was like, absolutely. And so that was my first TV appearance, was back in 2021. I believe that was November 2021. And then I got the Fox 7 gig through a booking agent that I work with named Tammy Miranda from Austin. And so she was able to schedule that for me. And it was perfect timing because I was just releasing Lazy Days and I got to talk about it. And it was really cool. But I had to play my song Lost in Austin, like, not off of the record. I was like, I have to play it. I'm in Austin. This is Fox 7. I have to play it. And that's the one that like everybody screams for when I play shows. They Lost in Austin.
Lost in Austin, yeah. That's the one that you'll probably, it'll be hard to get away from that song. That one's gonna follow you.
It is a little hard way to get away from that. But that is probably my second favorite song to play live, I gotta say that. Just because like that's the one that gets people dancing too and stuff. And I love that. I live for that.
How much fun is it when you get to play some of these all ages shows? Like when I was about 22 to 25 or whatever, I didn't really like the all ages shows, quite frankly. I was like, I'd kind of like for this to be, you know, an adult audience. But the older I get, I really love seeing kids get into music. I was in an all ages show at our local music hall last week or the week before. And it's fun just seeing guys who are clearly like 18 or 17 and they're just having a great time because I feel like I had experiences that kids or even teenagers, they don't get the same way that we did back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
How much fun is it when you see that in the crowd, when you see like the younger group getting into your songs?
Oh, I love it. It's so much fun. Like one of my favorite things is whenever I get couples up and the couples start dancing and like I'm playing a love song, whether it's one of my songs or just a love song, and they're just into it. And I could just tell they're having a moment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, part of that, like just like being able to create that for them. Like I love that. I love it. It's just like something about it just like lights me up inside. You know, I just feel like I light up, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
And I really love, I got to tell you, the thing I love the most is when older couples get up and dance.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had that happen a couple of times, and that's very touching, you know.
Yeah. Oh, what a special.
I always have kids, like kids always dance. They love my music.
Yeah.
Little kids love my music.
Yeah, I remember taking my youngest are 4 and 3, or you know, almost 4, almost 3. They have birthdays coming up, but took them to see a singer-songwriter last summer, I think, and they loved it. It was kind of, and I just sat back and watched because I knew this was basically their first time seeing a live performance.
Yeah.
And just little kids, music is just such an enriching part of our lives.
I agree.
And I'm so glad that at that crossroads that we were talking about earlier in the episode, where you just had the bad experience with the guy that just took your money and ran, that could have been, the world may not have heard of Dan Guevara. And he soldiered on.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's definitely, I felt very, like when I was able to just kind of like piece everything together and put it out into the world still, it was very empowering, I
Yeah.
gotta say, because I felt so low. And then when I was able to do that and turn something like bad into something very good, like something negative into a positive, I just felt like very empowered. And I'm really glad that I did, because like I said, Lazy Days would have never happened. I would have never written any of these songs, probably. I probably would have just hung it up, you know?
Wow, what a batch of songs, folks. You can follow Dan on really any social media platform or most of the big ones. Dan Guevara Music on Instagram, and I'll list these in the show notes as well.
I'm also on YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook, Dan Guevara Music, and I got an official website on the way. That's in the works.
Awesome. Dan, how about just a few Dan time questions? Kind of
Yeah,
silly stuff or
absolutely.
whatever. Sometimes I don't ask this
Uh-oh.
question because it's so, I don't know. When did you start going by Dan? Was it a choice? Was it given to you? Was it when did it? When did you go from? Were you born Daniel and then like me?
Yeah, so I think it sounds really, really funny, but the reason that I actually went from Dan, from Daniel to Dan, is because my last name is like really, really long. And so I thought, like, hey, if I shorten my first name, I could fit a little bit more in. And
Yeah.
so that's why I started going by Dan with my music. And then, like, a lot of my friends called me Dan, and I was like, well, I prefer Dan anyway. So ever since I did that, I just, everything I put out, it's pretty much, I go by Dan. Unless it's like my driver's license or, you know, something official like that. It just, Daniel, you know, but.
Dan, I've never heard it put that way. As far as the name is long enough, the surname, so why not just shorten? That's kind of what I was getting after.
Yeah,
You know, my
that's why I
last
did it.
name, my last name ends in the L sound. So, I mean, I was Daniel McArdle, and it's like, yeah, that was actually part of it, but I didn't think about it until you brought
Yeah,
that up.
that's funny. That's funny, and how it's kind of like similar why we did that, you know?
Yeah. Okay, here's a question. I don't ask this one all the time because I don't want to put people like on the spot. What's your favorite record? You know, but like, do you have some? And this is okay if you have a long pause. Favorite artists or influential records that you know you still love, you still play them, and
Oh man.
top two or
Oh
three.
man, that's a big one. That is a big one. I gotta say, very inspired by the Beatles. My mom was super into the Beatles. Her and I actually had the pleasure of going to the UK. We got to go to Abbey Road. We went to Abbey Road Studios. We went to the Cavern Club where they got discovered. We went all over Liverpool. So, like, the Beatles are always and forever going to be a big influence. Elvis Presley.
Oh, love it.
I loved his energy. Just like Elvis's energy and like how he could just captivate everybody with his energy, the way he danced, and just like how passionate he was when he performed. So it was always the Beatles, Elvis, and currently, like, there's a band called Camp from Ohio, and they're a bunch of, like, you know, kind of like Americana, like Southern rock type boys, cool. Indie rock guys. But they have a lot of banjo in their music, and they have a lot of like mandolin and stuff. And they've been a huge influence to me, as well as Shaky Graves from Austin, Texas. He's a huge influence to me as well. So he's the reason I play with the tambo toe in my foot, is because of Shaky Graves, because that's what he did starting out. So.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad I asked. Some good recs there.
Yeah. But those are big, big influences on me for sure.
And then, Dan, are you still a chef? I know you're a self-professed foodie. And
yes.
Tell me about that part of your life and what's going on there.
So the answer is yes. I'm still a chef. I work at a retirement home here in Georgetown, and I cook lunch and breakfast every Monday through Friday. And on the weekends, I gig. I love my shift because I get there super, super early. I'm out early. I could stay up late on the weekends after my gigs and just kind of like have lazy days, you know, on the weekend, which is nice. Or unless I'm like, I do things a lot on the weekends too. Like I run around and do stuff. But, and as far as being a foodie, I've always loved like food truck culture. I love the Food Network. Like I said earlier, Gordon Ramsay was just in Georgetown at a couple of restaurants here that I go to. And he completely like renovated them, changed the menu and stuff. I love his stuff. I got to go to Italy with my wife on our honeymoon, and we got to try like amazing, amazing Italian food. So I'm just, I love all the food, basically.
Oh, nice.
And the culture. Love the culture. Love history as well.
Okay. And then, I always have to wrap up these episodes, and I'm like, man, we could talk for hours. Anyway, Dan, what about, I read that your mom bought you your first guitar. So she probably saw something in you at a young age. It just took time, you know, to get this engine going. Talk about you and your mom and your relationship and closeness, and she plays on the record. You got her. Like you said, she was kind of nervous about doing that. But talk about you and your mom and your relationship there.
All right. So it's funny because, like, my mom and I, like, we've always had music in common. And we love, like, we just have really goofy senses of humor. Like, we love British culture and humor a lot. So we're, like, really big Monty Python fans. Mm. We love Mr. Bean. That's totally our humor. And then, of course, like, we love the Beatles, basically all things British we love, and like old mysteries and stuff. And basically, so I have extreme ADHD. Like, I'm always pacing, and I got to be doing stuff around the house, and so keep myself busy. And I was always, growing up, I was always tapping out tunes on the table or stomping my feet. And so my mom was like, we need to get him playing an instrument. And I told him, I was like, well, I want to play percussion. And my mom's like, well, you know, percussion sets are a little harder to come by. What about the drums? And I was like, okay, cool. So I picked up the drums at 14. And then after I had been in a couple bands and had some drama in the band, we split. I had been kind of messing around with the guitar a little bit, like my mom's guitar, and she ended up getting me a guitar, and I started writing songs when I was around 17, and that's kind of like how all of that came about. And like I think I told you earlier, like how I was like real sheltered as a kid. Like, my mom would actually take me and my brother to shows in Austin. She would like drop us off with our friends or whatever, and that was like our outlet. And then she would stay there at times with us. Me and my brother are there, like at the original Emos in Austin, and like my mom is there, and there's like all these people with tattoos and like different colored hair and stuff, and she's there and she's just enjoying the music. She's just loving it. So I love that about my mom. And my dad, he's a not musical, but he's a big Beatles fan. Like, he loves the Beatles, so we have that in common. He loves Amy Winehouse. We have that in common. So
Man, my dad, not to get off on my story, but I don't know if a lot of dads are like this, but I'm always trying to get my dad back into music, because it's like, I remember him playing some of these old records, like Marvin Gaye. I remember him playing Marshall Tucker Band and old Bob Seger records. And so there was like music playing in the house. And then it's like when I go see him or we hang out, it's not really central anymore. I'm like, sometimes, a couple times a year, I'm trying to like introduce him to artists that he might like. Actually, some stuff through this show, I'm like, you need to listen to this. So,
yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah. Kind of like reignite that love for music that he once had.
Yes.
Or maybe just throw on a record that reminds him of growing up. Like you said, like listening to Marvin Gaye or, you know, one of the greats like that, you know, just like throwing it on. Or Steve Miller Band, like throw that on. I bet he would like that too, you know.
He probably had no idea. And now I know, like when I play music in the house, that maybe my kids are going to remember it. My oldest being 7, because like I remember hearing The Fire Down Below from Bob Seger. I remember Can't You See from Marshall Tucker. It's like there's a few of these standouts.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could still remember like that evening in the living room and the turntable. And he didn't know that, but so music is so powerful. And, I was actually,
I love music.
Dan, I was playing.
Music is a time capsule. When you listen to it, it takes you to different periods in your life, and you think about that time and the way life was at that time and the way things were. And I love that. And you think of different moments in your life that you had with different people, you know, and that's what makes life worth living, is the people in your life and the moments you have with those people. And I just love that. That's why I love music so much. It's just beautiful how it takes you back in time like that, you know?
Yeah. And like you said, with the Beatles, do you ever experience this with music where you had a song that meant something to you a decade ago, and then now you listen to it and there's like a new relevance?
Or yes.
The meaning has shifted a little bit.
Yes. Honestly, like when I listen to the song Dancing in the Dark, like I get a different feeling from it. He's singing about how he just like, basically he's tired of being in the, like this small rundown town. And Georgetown's not run down, but it's like, he's wanting to just break out and explore the world and just like break free. And I like that vibes with me so much.
Yes.
I'm just like, yes, I have that same urge. I want to explore the world. I want my music to explore the world and people to hear it. And I want to play for different people and different audiences from all over, you know?
I'm glad you said that, Dan. Yeah. The image of you in the Airstream, and it's like I kind of associate that now, Dan Guevara. It's like you're ready to shoot out at a moment's notice.
Yes, exactly. That's what I want. That's the goal, ultimate goal. So I'm local currently, but I'm slowly spreading from Central Texas outward. So I've got branches. Let's just say that. So I'm spreading all over Texas right now. And hopefully out one of these days to a state near you.
Wonderful. Well, Dan, I'd love to have you back maybe around the next time that you've got a new record. I don't know if are you always writing, or do you have periods of on the calendar where you dedicate to writing, or are you always scratching out lyrics?
So that's the thing about writing. It's weird. It's like it's spontaneous. So like when I wrote Dear Anthony, for instance, like I was just in the front yard raking the leaves. And I just thought of the line, the very first part of the song, Dear Anthony, hope this song brings us back together. Because I was thinking about my friend that was really struggling at that time. And he was just heavy on my mind when I was working in the yard. And then I just started, all these words just started coming out. And then I got the, we had talked about the line earlier about like happiness is, oh my God, I can't even remember my own song.
No, happiness is like a fading memory of an old friend.
Yes. So that came to me as well when I was working in the front yard. And I found that a lot of my songs come to me when I'm at work for some reason. Like I come up with ideas on the job when I'm like cooking and stuff, or when I'm working out in the yard. So that's when I'm inspired the most. And I've actually had a couple of songs come to me when I'm in the middle of the night and I had to wake up and record it. And so I've done that too. So there's just like different moments. And when I try to sit down and plan it, it just never pans out the way that I want it to.
Yeah. One more thought on Dear Anthony here. And I don't know if this is what you were getting at, but most of us have had friends that you want to help them. You want to be the olive branch, but you, you've tried multiple times, and it's just they've got to take that first step. I feel like in this song that you've gotten some kind of signal from him where, you know, your effort is going to be received. Where I think it says, this is almost over. Hope you're ready to take flight. Just reignite your dying light. Like, you've got just a little something from him to say, hey, you could pull this off. See the storm behind your eyes and feel your pain, and remind them, I'll walk with you through the flames. I listened to the lyrics, and was there some meaning there where he kind of gave you, or that you sensed that there was a call for help?
Yes, there definitely was a call for help. Like my friend had told me, like I said, he was at the end of his rope. He's really, really struggling. And he was like telling me, he's like, hey, I have a plan. And I'm like, no, this can't be happening. And like, everything inside of me just like was like, no, I got to keep reaching out to him. I got to keep talking to him. I just can't give up on him. I just felt like I had this urge. But I had to keep talking to him. I had to keep encouraging him and just like be there for him, you know? And I really feel like just him sensing that and feeling that, and it wasn't just me, like it was like his family too that got involved, and we all kind of like came together and we like just started really loving on him and encouraging him, you know, that, you know, like there's so much more to life and life is beautiful, you know, like you've had a lot of hard knocks. But it's not over, you know, like I could still tell that he had a spark in him and he wasn't like ready to give up 100%, but he like was thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's what was scary, you know? So, but, yeah, I think that's more or less what I was envisioning when I wrote that part of the song.
I like this type of song in 2025. I know the record came out in October, but you know, again, speaking to what life is like now, it's really easy to get kind of siloed and, you know, just hang out, not with your friends, but maybe with your phone and not reach out to people and put your arm around your buddy anymore and like check on people. It's like, I really don't want to say that that's going away, but I love this song right now because it's a reminder that part of life is being there for people, at least trying, you know, if you feel like that somebody needs you and you've got something that you can, whether it's your talents or your empathy, you know, if you've got something there to share with people to help them through a struggle, I think it's a big part of our existence is being there for other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like people just knowing that they're not alone, just like having that knowledge that you're there, or like you're present with them in the room and you're there for them if they need anything, just like having that reassurance that they're not alone in the world. Because I feel like so many of us, we feel very alone in the world. And I feel like this time and period of time that we live in, there's a lot of division. And I feel like people are just feeling like they're really feeling that right now. And I feel like if anything, we just need to come together.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons that the song, it's amazing how like old songs from the past, like from the Beatles, like we were talking about, Come Together, could be so relevant now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all you need is love. Like that's universal, you know, I want to hold your hand. Like, it's just like, that's timeless. That's why the Beatles are such geniuses, because it's like their work is like, it could fit any time period. You could relate to it any time in your life, you know. It speaks to you, your soul, continuously, you know, and that's the music that I love, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I got to go listen to the Beatles again.
Yeah, I know, right? I want to throw on Abbey Road right now.
I think
that one and Don't Let Me Down. Oh, my God. I love Don't Let Me Down. That's such an underrated record or song off the record.
Yeah. I think I Want to Hold Your Hand was the first Beatles song that I could remember from around first grade. And then the first one that I saw where it's like the Beatles in concert was I Saw Her Standing There. And I'm actually still, I like Ringo Starr. My mom's favorite Beatle is Ringo.
Uh-huh.
And I love his drumming style back then where he's basically, he's out of the drum stool I think he's like, he's not even seated and he's just banging that hi-hat and like,
yeah.
Guys, if you haven't seen the way that they played back then and how they influenced things, like going back to the first part of this conversation, punk rock and,
yeah.
I mean, all types of music, go watch one of those early Beatles performances. And you know, yeah. how the crowd was always just falling apart. Like they,
the leather period, too. They used to rock the leather jackets. Like all yeah. four of them had the leather. They had the slick back hair. They had like the greaser thing going on, which is very like... what do they call it now? Rockabilly.
Yeah.
We call it rockabilly now, mm-hmm. but back then it's like, they were like the founders of rockabilly, kind of like some of the founders, just yeah. the way they dress, their, the emotion behind their music, you
right.
know,
right.
The attitude, you know, like that rebellious like attitude, like, hey, like we're all clean cut, but you know, like we may look clean cut, but listen to our lyrics, watch the way we perform, you know, because they would wear the suits, but they had like the hair, you know?
Yes. Oh, man. Well, Dan, I've so enjoyed our conversation today, our Danversation, as I yes. sometimes say.
And me too. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. And folks, if you're going to be in the Austin area, Central Texas area, this summer, this fall, get out and see a Dan Guevara performance. Visit the social media pages, follow him wherever you're most active, and dig into this music. Lazy Days LP, you're going to find a track that speaks to you. We've talked about a few of them today. Dan, anything else that we haven't talked about that you'd like to promote or plug?
Yeah, so I have a song coming out. I'm going to be heading to the studio here in a couple days to record my first country song.
All right.
Her country song. And it's about a really, really good friend of mine, that lost her mom during, COVID, and her mom's love of country music, and how, when she hears country music, it makes her think of her mom and like all the good times she had with her mom. So that's the theme behind the song. And I'm really, really excited to like dive into a different genre and just try something different, you know, shake it up. So, yeah. So that should be coming out this summer. Her country song.
Her country song.
That's right. That's right. Oh, look for it on Spotify. Well, Pandora, all the streaming platforms.
Well, really exciting stuff there, Dan.
Yeah, man. Yeah. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much again for having me. This has been awesome.
Excellent. Well, again, if I reach out to you, at least now you know that it's not a spam message. So if I ask you to come back on the show.
That's right. Hope to do it again real soon.
Yeah, this
Once
is
I
great.
Once I get that song all wrapped up, maybe we could do something. Let's talk.
That'd be terrific. All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of Dan Time. Tell a friend about it, even if your friend isn't named Dan or you're not named Dan. Again, it's just a fun way to start conversation, to introduce you to a new artist. And as I say over a lot of these episodes, have some fun out there, okay? Have some fun with your life. Have some fun with your friends. Take somebody to a concert and feel the power of music. What a great guy, Dan Guevara here. Everyone is of my guests have been terrific, but it's probably the first songwriter where I've checked out the LP and I've just gotten emotional, you know, because usually I'm just trying to study and I like a couple tracks, so I'm trying to familiarize myself with the songs, but this one really hit me, Dan, and you're onto something, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot. Thank you, Dan.
Oh, you bet. All right. And we will see you guys next Sunday for a new episode of the Dan Time Podcast. Thanks and have a great week.
Staying in bed, taking our time. But if this is just a dream, if this is just a dream, then I'll be hitting that snooze button. I love the way you give me all your loving. I'll never give you up, no, for nothing. No, for nothing. it's news, but I love the way you give me all your loving. I'll never give you up, no for nothing, no for nothing. Oh, I just gotta find a way through this haze. I just gotta find a way back to those lazy.